Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys coming up today. Lot of U.S. Open talk as we are getting ready for Oakmont. Should be an awesome test. Hopefully some carnage. Watching these guys struggle to make birdie going to be a lot of fun. Ryan Noonan going to join us here in moments. Going to get his thought on the U.S. Open. We're also going to have Nick Kenyon join us later on, get his thoughts as well. We got a full card of Major League Baseball. We'll give out some picks throughout the show. We also have Game 3 of the NBA Finals to preview, and Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final after Florida absolutely dismantled Edmonton last night. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. We'll give out my full golf card for Oakmont, and we'll give out our favorite plays of the day. So make sure you guys are chiming in throughout the show over the next 30 minutes. Give us your favorite plays, your best bets, any questions that you have, certainly in the U.S. Open as well. Any golfers that you guys are kind of thinking about betting, let us know right in the chat, and we'll get to it throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Ryan Noonan, who joins us. Check out his work for 4 Bets and BetSpurts Golf as well. Make sure you guys are following Ryan on X at Rye Noonan. Ryan, I'm fired up for the golf this week, man. Going to be an awesome test. I just want to know, like, when you're handicapping Oakmont, what would you say is the top thing that you're prioritizing this week? Is it guys just finding the fairway? Is it accuracy? Do you still want guys driving distance because it's such a big course? Elite iron play? What would you say is the thing that you're kind of prioritizing the most this week?
It's a great question, and the lazy answer, but I think the important answer is that the U.S. Open test is really designed, and Oakmont specifically, you know, tips to tails, to really, you need to have the whole bag, PJ. Like, you can't really fake it out there. It is a unique, event in space, particularly because we've seen this event really cater to distance over the last handful of years in different U.S. Open setups. Oakmont is a little bit more challenging. You know, it is from a par to yardage standpoint, it is a long golf course still. At 7,400 yards is a par 70. You know, you obviously don't have those two extra par fives out there, so par four scoring becomes really important. I just want guys that have done it on, you know, whether it's majors, whether it's the new signature event format. I want to see some guys, you know, that in terms of like picking an actual winner, that you've really got it done against difficult fields and difficult tests over the last couple of years, more so than anything. It's going to be a combination of all of it. Lots of discussion in the last, you know, 24, 48 hours around distance versus accuracy. The answer is both. Like, you know, pretending that it's not both matters, it's just kind of, you're kind of missing part of the handicap here. So keeping the ball in play, controlling the golf ball matters. We have a guy at the top of the board that does a pretty good job at controlling the golf ball, better than anyone else. These are, you know, very, very slopey, undulating greens and fairways, something I don't think the TV does a great job of picking up. We obviously hear a lot about how fast these greens are going to play as well. So, you know, can you control your golf ball on fast greens? Those things are going to matter quite a bit as well.
Ryan, I'm going to throw some golfers at you before. I certainly want the guys that you like this week. Just want to get your thoughts. Kind of guys that I'm on the fence with. I could certainly put them in my card, not put them in my card. So I want to get your thoughts. We'll start with Sepp Straka, who's obviously having an awesome year. I mean, you mentioned Scheffler at the top. Guy controls his golf ball than anybody else. You certainly could put Sepp in the top five conversation right now with the way he's swinging it. Hasn't performed all that well in majors, though, throughout his career. And obviously, Oakmont's a big-time test. Would you play Sepp this week in any capacity, Ryan?
1,000%. Sepp has been very kind to me. I was on both of his wins so far this year. So I feel like I've, you know, really squeezed all the juice out of the Sepp Straka orange. For me to go back would be difficult. That number from an outright standpoint got beat down a little bit early in the week because it was a, you know, there were 80s out there. It was a bad number. So he's kind of sitting in the 50 range, finding whether it's a finishing position bat. You can find some matchups. I think Sepp is definitely competitive. Really could say, I mean, statistically, outside of Scottie Scheffler over the last 6 months, you know, 2025, Sepp Straka is the best iron player in the world. Keeps the ball in play off the tee. And is a pretty solid putter on fast greens as well, rated out a little bit higher for me than I thought he was going to. So, yeah, having some Sepp on the ticket is a good way to go.
What about Joaquin Niemann, Ryan? He's kind of a polarizing one this week. I mean, the guy just wins on LIV every single week. It hasn't translated to the majors. Did have that top 10, though, at Quail Hollow, which I think has people thinking that maybe he can break through. This week, you doing anything with Niemann?
I'm going to explore it. I'm going to flirt with it a little bit. Might be a one-and-done selection for me if people are playing in any of those because we have the limited options for the LIV guys. The problem is, you know, it's talked about often, what do those LIV setups do to get you prepared for major championship golf? And it's really hard to say that they do anything for you, to be honest. Again, we have another – he won again in Virginia at RTJ, 15 under through three rounds, right? So we, you know, kind of pull that out. You know, that's a course that's – you know, 20 under for a winner if you were to play a normal 72-hole event. You know, they don't play a lot of – and you look at kind of where those LIV results are, high teens, and again, three rounds. So they're not necessarily difficult setups. They're not the elite golf courses. The game is there, though, right? PJ, I mean, he long and straight off the tee. You know, he has all the chops just from a raw skill skill set standpoint. So he's very interesting. You're paying the freight for it, though, because he's priced as if he's done it before. He's a little too close to that real top tier for me. So I'm not sure how to play it, but he is of interest to me. Just the number, I don't think I like the pricing on Niemann right now.
What about Keegan Bradley? He's obviously the Ryder Cup captain. This is interesting. You know, Keegan, I think, is a guy I want to target first round three ball, right? Like early on in the tournament. Don't know if I want to invest in him all 4 days. What do you make of Keegan this week?
Love Keegan. The high ball flight is going to fare well here. Obviously, these are, you know, greens. You think about fast putting, like it's hard to hold too. So it really impacts the entirety of the game. It's not just off of, you know, the fast putts. It's firm and fast on approach shots too. So Keegan's really high apex distance is a good combination here. Playing really good golf. Likes difficult tests, likes Northeast golf, finding ways to get in on Keegan. Maybe you're right. Maybe it should just be maybe some first round leader sprinkles, first round top 20, something like that, depending on what we see weather, if there's any weather draw stuff. I'll definitely ask some Keegan. I'm a sucker for him, you know, pretty much every week, to be honest.
I like it. Ryan, I think this guy's giving me the most trouble. Shane Lowry, you doing anything with him this week? I really could make the case for betting him or just staying away completely.
Yeah, not picking him to win, but, you know, we roll back to 2016, and we look at the leaderboard heading into the final round, and Shane Lowry had a lead by margin. And if it ends up being a spot where maybe distance isn't as important and maybe accuracy is rewarded more, Lowry's just going to keep the ball in play. He's probably not going to play himself out with too big, you know, big numbers. The putting could be real wonky. That kind of keeps him out sometimes on Sundays when things get a little bit tighter. I would be very surprised almost to even not see him in the top 20. So finding ways to get down on Shane, again, matchups, finishing positions are the way to go. Not paying that price from an outright standpoint, considering that he just has trouble closing. Yeah, PGA National in you know, February. So, you know, him doing it on the big stage is something that I can't pay 33-1 for. So, but again, he'll be in the mix. Fantastic fit.
We're talking with Ryan Noonan here on Send It In. Give Ryan a follow on X at Ryan Noonan. All right, so Ryan, I gave you some golfers that I'm interested in this week. Who are some other guys that you love this week at Oakmont that you'll be betting?
Going down the board, staying in that kind of that range of guys that you can get maybe a little bit further down. I think it's going to be a nice Russell Henley week. You know, I think whether you're playing like daily fantasy or even, you know, looking at, you know, trying to build out your betting card, you know, like skill stacking is something we should probably be thinking about. Like if we're not really sure if it's going to be distance or accuracy, I think kind of building around those structures of not knowing, pretending that you're right and, you know, going all in, you know, the Sepp Strakas, the Shane Lowrys, the Corey Connors, Russell Henleys of the world, who are fantastic golfers, top 25 golfers in the world, keep the ball in play off the tee, elite iron game, you know, and pretty much don't have, you know, a weakness, right? They might not have the distance to hang with the top of the board, but they're really going to be competitive. And we've seen this for, you know, Henley in particular over the last couple of years. Really strong showing. He's got a top five at the Masters in the last 2 years. Open Championship very much in the mix last year. Pinehurst, he was inside the top 10 to finish. One at Bay Hill, of course, that people would not typically pick to be a Russell Henley track because it's just too long for Henley compared to where he is off the tee. But again, just doesn't, being in the fairway at Bay Hill is paramount. And that, I think, is going to be the case this week. So, you know, whether that's a top 20 bet or something like that, I think Henley is very, very much in play. Again, Corey Connors, another guy that I mentioned in there as well. Going a little further down the board, maybe a sleeper. Maybe you have, you know, each way betting options, or you're looking for like a long shot in without Scheffler or without the big gun markets. I really like Bud Cauley this week. Bud Cauley's playing really, really good golf. When I use our rabbit hole at BetSports Golf to filter out some performances in like difficult scoring conditions or when it's difficult to gain in ball striking, Bud Cauley's inside the top 10 in the last 36 rounds of ball striking in difficult golf courses. He's a fantastic lag putter, particularly on fast greens. That's going to matter. These are mammoth greens, very tiered surfaces too. So, you know, the three putt rate is like three times normal event, and Bud Cauley's get some pretty positive stats in terms of lag putting. So I think that's going to matter quite a bit. You're going to be able to get like, I don't know, I think he's over 2-1 even, right around 2-1 to finish inside the top 40. So Bud Cauley's one of my bomb sleeper sprinkles this week.
I like it. Anybody on the other side of the coin, Ryan, that you would look to fade, maybe that you're targeting in matchups, maybe you're betting them to miss the cut, anybody you think could struggle this week?
Yeah, at the top, you're going to be able to find a good amount of options probably to get in against Justin Thomas. A little worried about Justin Thomas off the tee here, keeping the ball in play. He's aggressive, and sometimes that could be a real problem here, because the problem that you're going to have here, it's going to bring doubles and triples into play, is when, you know, say a guy even takes less than driver off the tee, finds himself in the thick stuff, and then tries to get really aggressive with that second shot, and all of a sudden the third shot's also coming from the thick rough, and maybe you're even in a worse spot than you were in the second shot. So I worry about course management pieces here with JT, keeping the ball in play. I mean, he obviously has an elite skill set, but, you know, we're going to have to find reasons and skills that really, or, you know, whether it's tendencies to cross guys off. You know, JT is going to be very much available in, you know, matchups against the Russell Henleys of the world, against Keegan, against the Ludwig, Sepp. So those would be guys I'd rather have than JT to target this week.
Very good. Ryan, I'll leave you with this, sir. The winner of the 2025 U.S. Open at Oakmont will be,
by margin, Scottie Scheffler. Find ways to get in on Scheffler, whether it's wire to wire, Scheffler by 3+. I know, I'm sorry, it's boring. He's the best player in the world. He's like +280. It's not really fun. But the reality is he controls his golf ball significantly better than everyone else. When you look at strokes gained, difficult golf courses over the last couple of years, he laps the field. He really is in his own tier. So finding ways to get in on Scheffler by margin, I think, is an interesting way to go about it. I know it's not fun to root for the house, like root for the house of blackjack, but it is what it is. He's fantastic at the game, and you're going to watch, and you're going to want to have a ticket some way.
You know what is fun, though, Ryan, is cashing tickets. And Scotty's just that good. He's been certainly doing a lot of that here as of late. Ryan Noonan, make sure you guys are following him on X, at Ryan Noonan, and check out his work, 4for4 Bets and BetSports Golf as well. Ryan, this was awesome, man. Enjoy the week of golf. We'll catch up again soon.
You too, PJ. Enjoy it while you're out there, buddy.
Yep, appreciate it, man. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. We got Nick Kenyon joining us here a little bit later on in the show. We'll get his thoughts on the U.S. Open as well. I told you guys a bunch of the golfers that I like, again, coming up at Oakmont. Bryson would be my pick. He's the guy that I'm looking at. He's won at Wingfoot. He's won at Pinehurst. He's won at two really difficult golf courses. And, you know, I think he likes the challenge. I know he likes the challenge of Oakmont. It's all going to come down to the driver this week for Bryson, right? He obviously bombs it a ways, and the rough is brutal at Oakmont. So if he keeps it in the fairway, he's going to have a great opportunity. So I think he's going to be the winner this week. I like him plus 750, plus 800. He would be the guy that I would look at. Talked about Xander yesterday, last eight U.S. Opens. He's finished top 15 in all eight of them. So certainly look at Xander top 20, top 10 this week. I think he's a great guy to look at. Sepp Straka has been one of the better players in the PGA Tour that not enough people are giving credit for this week. Sepp's at 40-1. Certainly think there's a chance that he could win, but like Sepp, top 20, top 10 as well. And then some of the longer shots, Tommy Fleetwood, Tony Finau, guys like that, guys that I would never bet to win a U.S. Open, but certainly guys that I would look at top 20, top 10. You look at Finau's career, guys, and he just plays well on tough courses. When the U.S. Open was at Shinnecock, when it was at Wingfoot, when it was at Pinehurst, Finau finished top 10 on all those golf courses at Quail Hollow, the PGA Championship. He had a great showing there when it was playing difficult. Tony plays well on tough courses. He doesn't win, but he does get inside the top 20, top 10, so I'd look at him there. Tommy Fleetwood, same thing. When the U.S. Open was at Shinnecock, he finished second there. He played pretty well at Wingfoot. Tommy is accurate. He's much like Russell Henley. They don't hit the ball very far, but they hit it straight. They keep it in the fairway, and Tommy just plays that steady game where he should be hovering around even par, two over, three over, give himself a chance. And then Patrick Reed, the long shot. I don't think a lot of people are talking about this week that I would keep an eye on. Patrick Reed, another one of these guys that plays tough courses extremely well, has one of the best short games in the world, good iron player. It's really all going to be about off the tee for Patrick Reed. If he can have a good week with the driver, he's going to be in contention, and getting him at 100-1, some of these prices, you can get him top 20, top 10. I think P. Reed could be worth a look. We got a question coming in here from the chat. Sports wager. PJ, would you choose Bryson top 10, Morikawa top 20, or Scotty top 5? I mean, it would certainly be Scotty or Bryson. I think, though, Bryson's price is a little better, and you're more room for error there at the top 10. So I would probably go with Bryson over Scotty. But honestly, sports wager, I mean, either of those choices, I think you'll be good. Would not take Morikawa this week. Hey, all right, let's talk some baseball here on Send It In. We got a full slate of games coming up today. Tigers and Orioles in Baltimore. This is a stinky line. The O's are favored today against Detroit with Cade Povich on the mound. Somebody knows something. Got to take the Orioles today on the money line against the Tigers. Reds and Guardians, also an interesting one. Andrew Abbott on the bump today for Cincinnati. He has a 2.18 ERA this season. He's 5-1, and he's going up against Slade Ciccone, who's not been good yet. The Reds are underdogs. Give me Cleveland on the money line today. Pirates and Marlins, Sandy Alcantara against Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller's been the much better pitcher, even though he's 1-8 this season. Can't get any run support. Sandy's been terrible. He's got an ERA over 8. I'd look at Pittsburgh, minus 140. Mick Abel and Colin Ray today in Phillies and Cubs. It's a pick 'em. I'm looking at the total, though. Give me the over 9.5. Two pitchers that have been okay so far this season. I think they're due for some negative regression here, and I think we're getting a high-scoring game. Give me the over. Also like the over in Red Sox and Rays today, over 9.5 between Lucas Giolito and Ryan Pepiot. But that game went to extras yesterday, went to 11 innings. Both teams got an opportunity to see each other's bullpens. Both bullpens are a little worn down right now, and same can be said for Phillies and Cubs with that game going to extras too. So I would look at overs in both of those matchups. Nats and Mets today. Give me the Nats on the money line with Mackenzie Gore on the bump at plus 125. Also look at Mackenzie Gore over 6.5 strikeouts at plus 100. In 75 innings pitched this season, Gore is 100 and 8 strikeouts, so give me the over. 6.5 Ks for Mackenzie Gore. Nothing in Braves Brewers for me today. I am taking the Yankees on the run line at -1.5 and -125. Max Fried going for the Yankees, who's been awesome this season. Noah Cameron is going for the Royals, who's been really good. I think this is where the regression could start to hit, though, for Noah Cameron going up against this Yanks lineup. And with Max Fried on the other side, I think there's a reason the Yanks are big favorites today. So I'll take New York on the run line, -1.5. Rangers, Twins, nothing for me. Tyler Malley is on the bump, though, for Texas, but I can't bet them right now. Blue Jays and Cardinals, Miles Michaelis, we're getting him as a small favorite today, -115 at home against Chris Bassett. I'll take St. Louis. Give me the White Sox today, +145 with Shane Smith on the mound against Lance McCullers and the Astros. That is a spooky line. The Astros only -175 at home against the White Sox. White Sox been playing some good baseball. I think they win again today. Giants, Rockies, nothing for me in Coors Field. Athletics and Angels out in Anaheim, going to pass on that one as well. And then Dodgers and Padres. The Dodgers haven't even announced a starter for today's game going up against Dylan Cease and the Padres, and yet it is still a pick 'em. So I would look at a Dodgers team total over, probably would take them on the money line as well. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. Don't worry if your home run bet doesn't clear the fences. BetMGM has your back with an MLB home run no sweat token. Just activate your token on an MLB home run bet. If your bet comes up short, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets. All right, you guys, time to check in now with our guy Nick Henyon, who joins us each and every Tuesday here on Send It In. Give Nick a follow on X at Nick Henyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, we have another major to talk about this week, my friend. U.S. Open gets rolling on Thursday. We know that you already have John Rahm ticket in pocket that you'll be rooting for. Did you add anything else, any other bets to win this week at Oakmont?
Yeah, I'm going to be really boring this week. Rahm at 15-1. I bet Scotty at 3-1. I know it's the most square play of all time, but here's what I keep coming back to with Scheffler. In the last 3 months, he has gained more strokes tee to green than second place Tommy Fleetwood by the same margin as between Fleetwood and the 81st ranked player on the PGA Tour. Now, that obviously doesn't include Rahm or Bryson DeChambeau from the LIV Tour, but Bryson, we know he has struggled with his irons of late, and I think the US Open setup, you really need to be really efficient with your irons to be able to contend. I'm already invested in Rahm, so I'm going to add Scottie Scheffler. Rory, I don't know what's going on with him. He struggled so much in Canada. If you're asking me whether I think we get a winner within the top four or outside of it, I just think you have to focus on that top four. So Scotty at 3-1 and then John Rahm at 15-1, the only outrights I have in play this week.
All right, very good. Got to ask you about your boy, Sepp Straka, Nick. I mean, anybody who watches the show know you are a member of the Sepp Straka fan club. He's playing some great golf. He had a great showing at Jack's Place Memorial a couple weeks ago, which could be a nice little test for what those guys are going to see this week. Sepp's at 40-1. Did you end up placing any bets on him this week?
I love Sepp this week. I'm going to be honest with you. If he does not play well, I will be very surprised. So the only thing suggesting that Sepp cannot win this week is history. 9 of the last 10 U.S. Open winners have a top 25 in a previous U.S. Open on their resume. Also, 9 of the last 10 U.S. Open winners had a top 10 in one of the year's first two majors. Obviously, Sepp does not fit that profile. Miscut at Augusta, miscut at Quail Hollow. His best U.S. Open finishes a tied for 28th, but if you look at his underlying stats, I basically built a ladder on Sepp as close to coming to win as possible without actually including the 40-1 price to win. So top 5 at +650, top 10 at 3-1, top 20 at +150. If you look at Sepp's record, the only places he has struggled this season is when driving distance comes into play more heavily than driving accuracy does. Miscut, as I mentioned, at Augusta National, you need to bomb it there. Miscut at Quail Hollow, you need to bomb it there. Miscut at Torrey Pines for the Genesis. Again, another bomber's paradise where length generally trumps accuracy off the tee. But at Oakmont, you're getting the opposite. Accuracy is going to trump length off here. I know the scorecard says it's just over 7,300 yards at Oakmont. It generally plays a little bit shorter than that. The average The average yardage of the 12 par threes comes in at around 433 yards. That's actually shorter than both Wingfoot and Shinnecock. So something to note there, there's a lot of length carried in the par three eighth, which is 290 yards, and the two par fives with both, which both measure over 600. So Sepp, the big thing with him, can he keep it in the fairway? He's eighth on the PGA Tour this season in fairways hit percentage. When he hits the fairway, he is first on the PGA Tour in greens and regulation percentage. He's also top 25 in three-putt avoidance from over 25 feet. I just don't see it. The tee to green game is too strong right now, and I don't really like the 40-1 to win the U.S. Open, but I did bet him at 66-1 to win the Open Championship next month. If my theory holds true and he contends here, he's heading to a Royal Portrush venue where he produced a really strong major championship finish at the Open, a runner-up in across the pond in a previous try. So I would rather take the 66-1 shot across the pond than the 40-1 to win the U.S. Open.
Love it. Thanks. That you made a great case there for Sepp Straka. I'll certainly be on him this week as well. I'm going to give out my full card here to wrap up the show. Nick, I want to know if there were any golfers that you ended up not betting this week. Maybe you were on the fence. You were deciding, going back and forth, but you ended up not pulling the trigger on a guy or two maybe this week.
Man, I'm so tempted on Morikawa just strictly from the numbers standpoint. If he keeps drifting and a top 20 becomes available at plus 100 or better, I might have to take a nibble of Morikawa, who in his last four U.S. Opens, no worse than a tie for 14th in any of them. This is just a random sidebar too, but I watched this video where a PGA Tour gave a bunch of tour pros the choice of whether they would just take even for the week or go out and play the course. There were about 10 or so guys in the video. Morikawa was the only one who said he would go out and play it. So he leads the PGA Tour in fairways percentage this season. What's really weird is he's like 92nd in greens and regulation percentage when he hits the fairway. So the approach game just hasn't really worked well, but he just seems to have a knack for these U.S. Opens, and I think it does sort his game where if he can just keep it in the fairway and avoid a disastrous putting week, I really think it could be a strong week for Morikawa at Oakmont.
There you go. Absolutely love it. Nick Kenyon, always great stuff. Give him a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, always appreciate it, my friend. Good luck to you this week.
Sounds good. Enjoy my hometown, PJ.
I'm looking forward to it, sir. Can't wait. All right, guys, let's talk some NBA Finals Game 3. We got Thunder, Pacers on Wednesday, coming up tomorrow, over under 228.5. Thunder minus 5.5 against Indiana. I'm going to take Halliburton, 20 or more points. Told you guys this yesterday at plus 120. I think this is going to be the Halliburton game offensively. Games 1 and games 2, he's kind of tried to let the game come to him early on, get his teammates involved, and then he's looked for his shot in the fourth quarter. I think he's hunting his shot early on and throughout the game. So give me 20 or more plus 120 for Halliburton. Also like the first quarter over at 56.5. In game 3. It's been the same number all three games. The under is hit in the first two. Going back to Indiana, though, where you would expect the Pacers offense to be much better than it's been in OKC, I think they maybe get 30-35. I think OKC can get into the high 20s, low 30s as well. We're going over 56.5 first quarter points. Nothing for me, spread or total in game 3. I do like Oklahoma City, though, to win the game. And then as for the Stanley Cup, give me Edmonton in game 4, plus 125. This thing is going to be 2-2, headed back to Edmonton. Florida whooped them last night. You had so many penalties, so many minutes in the penalty box. I think it was like the fourth most ever for a Stanley Cup game. Edmonton's going to respond in a big way on Thursday night. So give me the Panthers money line at plus 125. All right, you guys, let's wrap up the show here. Favorite plays of the day. Also going to give out our golf card as well for the U.S. Open. Let's start with going streaking. Freddie Freeman is going to be our guy today. 5 for 11 in his career against Dylan Cease. Give me Freddie to get a base hit. prop lock is going to be Mackenzie Gore over 6.5 Ks against the New York Mets at plus 100. Mackenzie Gore, 108 strikeouts and 75 innings pitched this year. He's going to be my prop lock today. Dog of the day, give me Shawnee Sharpe's White Sox at plus 145 against the Astros. When Houston is up 5-0 in the second inning, I will immediately regret this, but let's ride the White Sox at plus 145. And then my best bet, folks, Bryson DeChambeau is winning the U.S. Open at plus 750. He's winning it for the third time. He won at Wingfoot. He won at Pinehurst. Bryson put out a 48-minute YouTube video last week. I highly recommend everybody to go watch it before the tournament starts. He plays all 18 holes, and you really get to go through and see the course, and you also get to see how he thinks around the course, and Bryson played really well. He was hitting the fairways. His irons were good. His speeds on the greens were good, and he still shot even par, but if he shoots even par all four rounds, he's going to win the U.S. Open. So give me Bryson at plus 750. All right, let's get to the U.S. Open card at Oakmont. Told you guys I like Bryson. Also going to bet Sepp at 40-1. You heard Ryan make the case. You heard Nick make the case. I love Sepp at the price. That's the key. Give me Sepp at 40-1. Probably should be like 25 or 30-1. How about Bryson top 10, minus 135 sports wager? You were asking me earlier. I got Bryson in my top 10, so I love that one. How about Tommy Fleetwood as well? Now, I never bet Tommy to win a major championship ever, but top 10, he absolutely can do that. Russell Henley, one of the most accurate golfers in the world. I'm going to take him as well at top 20. Keep in mind, Henley won at the Arnold Palmer Invitational earlier this year. Also very difficult golf course. Finau, keep telling you guys how good he is at these tough courses. And then Patrick Reed, taking a flyer with that one. I like the 30-1 price. Patrick Reed's been great in majors throughout his career. He's been great at Augusta, and he's been really good at difficult U.S. Open courses. So Patrick Reed, top 20 at plus 300. That's our card this week for the U.S. Open. Once again, Freddie Freeman's our play today and going streaking. Mackenzie Gore over 6.5 Ks is our prop lock. Dog of the day, White Sox plus 145 money line, and Bryson DeChambeau to win the U.S. Open at plus 750 is going to be our best bet. I'm going to be out for the next 2 days, you guys. I'm actually heading to Oakmont for the U.S. Open. I can't wait, so I'll be there. Jake Hassan is going to be with you tomorrow and Thursday, so make sure you stick around for Jake. He's going to have some great shows for you the next couple days, and I will see you guys back on Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.